if we look at a woman as his prized possession, right, it actually reminded me of Eov. What happens in Eov? As a punishment to Eov, right, or as a test to Eov, his wife gets taken away from him, right? And Yechezkel also, we see God's going to take away Machmarei Necha. It could be also, sometimes we learn that these things aren't meant to be understood literally, and it's more a threat to a person. Don't do this, because if you do this, you're going to lose your most precious item. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily meaning that really your wife is going to be taken away, but your wife is going to die for that, but it's trying to encourage people. And if you think about it, this is one of the main things, right? People make promises and don't live up to them. And the way to encourage people to live up to their promises was to kind of say it in this threatening manner, you're going to lose your wife. But not necessarily really that the wife is going to die for it. You know, often we see these statements, we've learned some in the past, where the rabbis say something, you know, like we learned this by Seudah Shlishit. You don't eat three Seudot, if you eat Seudah, you know, three Seudot, because clearly people weren't all doing it, they weren't Makpid, you will be saved from Dina Shalom Gehenna, what is it? Right, Migog Umagog, and Dina Shal Gehenom, and a bunch of these things, you're going to be saved from. It's a way of encouraging people to do it. Here it's a little more in the negative. If you don't do this, you'll be held accountable that your wife's going to die. Because it's much more threatening to people to lose their wife than to lose their own life, right? People often think about the other. So it could be also a way of using language to kind of encourage it. Anyway, getting back to the content here. So what happens? Since we have this concept that Ein Ishto Shel Adam Meta Elin Kei Mevakshim Mimenu Mamon Ve'Ein Lo Sheneemar Ein Lecha L'Shalem Anikach Meshkavcha Mitachtecha, you might have thought what? Ema, you would have said, Behai Avon Debalta Acher Nami Ishto Meta. That just like she dies for, if you can't pay up your debts or your promises, right, depending on how we understand it, whether it was from stealing or from a promise you made and you can't pay up. So same way if you delay. Now what's the difference? It's very tricky. What's the difference between delaying and not paying? So long as you're delaying, you haven't paid, right? So some people say, well, when you get to, you know, if at a certain point, you know, it's tough to know exactly the line to be drawn here. And they also are very careful about the lashon ve'ein lo. You don't have. There's a difference between having and not paying and not having. Okay? Here it's actually worse if you don't have anything. And maybe the concept is, it's one thing to push things off, right? We all push things off. We procrastinate. But if you get yourself into a situation where you owe somebody or you promise you're going to give something and you don't have the money for it, that's worse. And it's worse to have gotten yourself into a situation where you can't pay back. And that's the worst situation, as opposed to you're just procrastinating.
Oh, it almost sounds like he's made a promise that he knows he can't keep.
It could be he made a promise he knows he can't keep, or he made a promise and then wasted his money on other things and now can no longer keep up to his promise. So either way, they were darshing on the words ve'ein lo. They were taking them very literally. And then, so again, what's the difference exactly? But in the end, they come to the conclusion that therefore, what does it come to teach you? Not your wife, because don't think that procrastinating is something that's going to get your wife in trouble. No, it's just not paying. That's the thing that's going to get your wife. But procrastinating is not going to get your wife in trouble. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. Now we're going to have another drasha. If we go backwards to yesterday, we had this drasha about all the different things about Lo Tachir L'Shamo that includes Neder, Nedava, Hekdesh. Right? First we had a brayta that just listed all those things. Then we had a brayta that tried to show the source for all of them from the pasuk of Bal Ta'acher, Lo Ta'acher L'Shamo. Now we're going to take another pasuk and darshan also the same things. So the Gemara then is obviously going to say, why do you need this one and the one we learned yesterday? Motza Sfatecha, okay, here the pasuk is, if you look on the side, those of you who have it, Motza Sfatecha Tishmor, watch what you say, Vasita Kasher Nadarta L'Hashem Elokecha, and do like you committed to God, you promise. Nidava asher dibarta b'ficha. Here it lists neder and nidava. Last time the pasuk only listed neder, and then we learned from it to nidava. Mitzvah svatecha, zo mitzvah aseh. What do you learn from here? It's worded in the positive, not in the negative. So we learn there's a mitzvah aseh, to do what you said you're going to do. Tishmor, so it's about lo taseh. As soon as it says, right, tishmor means be careful, right? So that already means it's a lo taseh. So we learn from this pasuk the aseh and the lo taseh. Vasita is azhara lebeitin sheyasucha. Okay, that means that if you don't keep your promise, the beitin can force you to keep your promise. They can get involved and actually make you pay up. Kasher najarta, right? They could seize your property. They can do anything. Kasher najarta, zen neder laHashem Elokecha. Zen neder. Kasher najarta. That means this refers to nederim. LaHashem Elokecha, elu chataot vaAshamot olot ushlamim. Okay, LaHashem Elokecha comes to include just like in the last pasuk. The chataot vaAshamot olot ushlamim. Nidava kimashmo. Nidava means nidava. Asher dibarta ele kodshei bet hakabayit. Those are things that you made holy to the bet hakabayit. You said this is going to be holy because it's kasher dibarta. How did they become holy? From your words. Bepicha zot staka. Okay. Also, right, it adds the word bepicha. Kasher dibarta bepicha. Kasher dibarta is the hektesh. Bepicha is staka. Okay. So now we're going to go back and ask a few questions on this. Amarma. Motzat svatecha ze mitzvat aseh lamali. Why do we need to learn a mitzvat aseh from here? We already learned a mitzvat aseh. From what pasuk? Mi ubata shama vehevetem shama. We already learned that, I think, yesterday or 2 days ago. But because it says, and you should go there and bring there, it teaches you have a mitzvat aseh to be mekayem. Nafka. It comes out of here. Tishmor. Zo mitzvat lo taseh lamali. Mi lo ta'acher l'shamo nafka. We already learned that from lo ta'acher. So why do we need to learn the mitzvah taseh we learned from somewhere else? Why do we need to learn the mitzvah lo taseh we already learned that from somewhere else? Vasita azhara lebeitin sheyasucha lamali. Mi yakrivo to nafka. The fact that beitin can force you to do it also comes from another pasuk. We haven't learned it yet. We're going to learn it right now. What's the pasuk? Detanya yakriv oto. Milamed. Okay, what's the pasuk here? This is ve'im ola karbono. Did I bring it on the? No, I didn't bring it on the page. The pasuk, but it says ve'im ola karbono min habakar. If the korban is a korban ola, zachar tamim yakrivenu al petach ol moed yakriv oto lirtzono. You bring it lirtzono according to his wishes or as he wishes. So, what do we learn from this pasuk? Yakrivoto milamed she kofinoto ba'al korcho. From the words yakrivoto, it sounds like you can force him because he has to sacrifice that. Talmud lomar, therefore the pasuk says, lirtzono. You can't force him to bring a korban, okay? He can't be forced. Haketzad, so what does it mean then? It says yakrivoto, which means you can force it. It says lirtzono, it means you can't force him. Kofinoto ad shiomar rotzeani. Okay, where does that come up? What's the most famous place where?
Aguna.
In Aguna cases. Okay, in a get case, what do we say? It has to be baratzon, but the beitin can force him to say, okay, please, mercy, right? So now, what do we have here? So what do you learn from this braita? That they force him, right? The beitin can get involved and force him to give his neder. While it's true that in the end he has to do it willingly, but they can get involved and force him. And therefore we learn from that pasuk, we don't need to learn it from the pasuk we just quoted. So now, in order to answer these three questions, as to why do you need this duplicity, both between the braita from yesterday and between this other braita we just learned for all the different details here, why do we need both pasukim? So now they're going to say, it's to teach us two different situations of a neder, or two different stages. There's two stages when you make a neder or a hekdesh or any of these things. What are the stages? Chad de'amar v'lo afrish. Chad afrish v'lo akriv. Okay, an aleph, by the way, before a verb is like a hey and hifil. So it's, he said, and v'lo hifrish. He didn't set aside yet the animal. And one is to say, if he set aside the animal, but he didn't sacrifice it. Okay, because what happens? First you say, I'm going to bring this. Then you set aside, you say, I'm going to do this, right? Then you set aside the object you're going to do it with, and then you actually bring it to the Beit HaMikdash. So now, why do you need both? We're going to get to this in a minute. Utzricha, and you need them both. Why? De'iyashmi'ina, and here I have a chart of what each one, if you would have had just one, what might you have thought incorrectly? De'iyashmi'ina amar v'lo afrish, that you just said, you didn't set it aside yet. Mishum de lo kaima le diburei. So there you're over on Baal Tzachir because you didn't do what you said you were going to do, and that's the whole issue here, right? You have to do your commitment. Aval afrish v'lo akriv. But once you are already mafrish the behema, you just haven't brought it to the Beit HaMikdash to sacrifice, Ema, you might have said, kol hecha di'ite be'gaza d'rachmana ite. This object right now, it belongs to God, wherever it is. It's true I didn't bring it to the Beit HaMikdash, but I've already made it holy. It already belongs to God. Okay, I actually saw a different interpretation, which is that everything belongs to God. So in essence, the fact that you haven't brought it to God doesn't mean anything because it already belongs to God. Okay, but so you might have thought that there's no isur baal ta'acher because you've already kind of returned it to its original owner. Okay, even though you haven't brought it there physically, but by name, right, this object now belongs to God and it's no longer yours. So therefore, it's tzricha. Therefore, they need to tell you also in that second case where you just haven't yet brought it to the Ben Mikdash, you're still violating the prohibition of baal ta'acher. V'iyashminan afrish v'lo akriv. And if we just had the second situation of you brought it, but you didn't. You designated it, but you didn't sacrifice it. What would you have thought? Dekamash helegabe. It's because you've left it in your property, and therefore you're over on Baal Tachir. You haven't dealt with it. Aval amar v'lo afish, ema dibur alo klumu. You might have thought, but if I just said something, so I just said something. Saying something doesn't have so much mashmaut. We see this all over in halakha. How important is your speech when you say something? How much halakhic significance does it have? We see it, for example, in Lav She'en Bo Maaseh. If you, Lotas said, generally you get Malkot for it. If you're over, you transgress a prohibition, that's a Lotas say, it's a negative prohibition, you get Malkot. But if it doesn't have an act that goes along with it, then maybe you don't get Malkot. In other words, you don't get Malkot. So then there's a whole issue of what's considered a Lav She'en. In other words, the typical case of Lav She'en Bo Maaseh is speech related. You said something, but you didn't do it. Anyway, there's all due in there in Makot about it. Okay, so therefore it's tzricha. So you need it because your dibur clearly is, especially in this case, right? That's the whole thing is that you said it. Now they say, Umi matzit amar to amar below afrish. How could you say that the situation is where he said but he didn't designate? V'ha nedava k'tiva. Nedava is one of the options, and there can't be a case of nedava where amar v'lo afrish. Because what is nedava? Utnan ezuhu neder. How? What's a neder and what's a nedava? We're going to see now in the Mishnah here that they're quoting. A neder is ha'omer harei alai ola. I'm going to bring a korban ola. Clearly we haven't designated an animal yet, right? Ve'ezuhi nedava ha'omer harei zo ola. From the moment you say harei zo ola, you've already designated. So there's no stage by Nidava of Omer v'lo afrish. So how could you possibly say that the Braita, when it mentioned Nidava, one of the Braita was talking about Omer v'lo afrish. So what do they say? Ha-Omer, so now we're continuing in the Mishnah first. Ve'ezuhi Nidava, Omer ha-Reza Ola, Uma ben Neder l'Nidava. What's the difference between them? Neder, we already discussed this a little yesterday, but now we see it inside. Neder, if you make a Neder, mate onignav, and then you set aside an animal after. Right? What if the animal dies or was stolen? Chayav b'achor yuto, you have to bring a different one because you took it upon yourself. But in a dava, what if you said, this animal is going to be my sacrifice, and then the animal dies? Meito nignava, I know chayav b'achor yuto. The animal's no longer. You never said, I am obligating myself. You said, I'm obligating this animal. Amar Rava, so Rava answers, Mishkacha la kigon de amar hare alai ola, al minat she'eni chayav b'achor yuto. It's a case where the nedava case they're talking about is like a neder that's really a nedava. Okay? He says, Hare alai ola, it's the nusach of a neder, but he says, Al menat she'eni chayav b'achor yuta. In other words, he says it in a way that he's saying, I don't want to be responsible for the achrayut, meaning it's going to be more like a nedava. Okay? That's the nedava, not a regular nedava, and therefore you could say that it's still talking about a case where amar v'lo afish. Here's another very interesting halachically significant source. When it says b'ficha zot tzedaka, Amar Rava, utzedaka machayev alei la'altar. Baal ta'acher is immediate when it comes to tzedaka. It has nothing to do with the shalosh regalim. First of all, it makes sense that it doesn't have to do with the shalosh regalim. Why? Because you don't have to go to the Beit HaMikdash to bring tzedaka, right? The other things we discussed, for the most part, they had to be brought to the Beit HaMikdash. So it makes sense. But tzedakah doesn't have to be. So now, my time, huh? Daha kaima aniim, because there's always aniim around. In other words, you have no excuse, okay? That's one possible way of reading it. It could be also, not only do you have no excuse, but the poor people need your money right away, right? The Beit HaMikdash doesn't need your sacrifice. God, right, doesn't need your sacrifice immediately. Now, yes, you made a commitment. You have to pay up, so you have time. But the aniim are waiting for your money, right? They need it right now. So you say, I'm going to give stuff. It's very interesting, right? You have to give it immediately. The Mefarshim distinguish between poor people, if there's poor people around you, and maybe if there aren't poor people around you, then maybe you do have more time. It's to then go and find the poor people, you know, that might take you time, and that's a different situation. But if there's poor people around, then obviously you have to do it immediately. They also distinguish between if you're giving to a foundation. Okay, they didn't call it foundations in those days, but you're giving it to a gabay tzedaka who's collecting the money for other people, rather than if you're giving to individuals. Individuals, you have to give right away. If you're giving to someone who's collecting for other people, you might not, except they say that as soon as that person says, I need the money, you have to give it to them right away, even if they're not the poor people themselves. Then the Gemara says, pshita, obviously. In other words, why would you think it would be any different? So ma'u detema kevanda b'inyana de korbanot ktiva, right? Since it comes up listed in the list of Baal Ta'achir with all the other korbanot, you might have thought, ad da'avre elegimu regalim ke korbanotam. You might have thought it's just like the sacrifices, that you have three regalim, kamash malan, therefore it comes to teach you it's not the case. Hatam hu detalinu rachmana b'regalim. It comes to teach you that there, the Torah put it, depended it on the regalim. Aval ha'chalo, okay, but not here. To hashlich aniim, because there's always aniim around, and therefore it's easy to find them, and there's no excuse. Amar Rava. Rava says another halachana. Kevan she'avar alav regel echad, over ba'aseh. As soon as one regel passes, we saw this yesterday, you already are going, you don't necessarily, you haven't gone over the negative commandment, but you haven't fulfilled the positive mitzvah. Meitine. Now we have a Mishnah that's going to contradict this source, this halacha. Heid Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Papayas al vlad shlamim shi karev shlamim. They said that if there's you bring an animal for a shlamim, and there's a baby inside an embryo, a fetus, that embryo, when it's born, also becomes a shlamim, right? Assuming that from the time you set aside the shlamim, that the animal was born, you have to bring it also as a shlamim. Amara Papias, ani me'id shaitan lanu parashah zibchei shlamim, ba'achanua bepesach, ba'achanu vlada shlamim bechag. I'm saying that there was this case where we had a parav shlamim that was pregnant, we ate it on Pesach, and then we ate the vlad, the baby that was born from it, on chag. What's chag? Sukkot. So now, what's the problem? If you're already not mekayim the aseh in the next holiday was Shavuot. Should have brought it at least by Shavuot. So bishlama bepesach lo kavua. We understand why you didn't bring it that regular. Why not? Imor de mechutzer zmanaya. You could say that maybe the animal was born on Pesach. And what's the story? What did we learn? Has to be 8 days old. Okay? Also, otovet benolo tishchetu miyomacha. But it doesn't have to be the same day. It could have been another day of Pesach. But it has to be 8 days old. That's mechutzer zman. How could he have left it over and skipped over Shavuot? Then he wouldn't be mechayim the mitzvah saseh. Amar Rav Zvi, Mishmei Derava, kigon shehaya chole ba'atzeret. Maybe the animal was sick on Shavuot and therefore couldn't be sacrificed. Rav Ashi Amar, he's going to give a different explanation. Mai ba'achanu v'ladah shlamim b'chag, dekatane chag ha-shavuot. When it says chag, it doesn't mean Chag Sukkot, like we generally understand, it means Chag HaShavuot. V'idach, but the first guy, you didn't take Rav Ashi's explanation. Why didn't he say that? Because Kol Hecha Detane Pesach Tane Atzeret. Whenever, it could be the Chag HaShavuot, sometimes it's Chol Chag, but when it's said in the same, you know, the same sentence as Pesach, it's always called Atzeret. Why? Because just like Shmini Atzeret is the end of Sukkot, right? Atzeret, Shavuot, is considered the end of Pesach. It's the counting. So therefore, it's always called Atzeret as compared to Pesach.
Is this embryo born? Is it alive?
Yeah, it is born. But the point is, you designated an animal while it was pregnant. Then, before you sacrificed it, the animal was born. So then the animal also has a status of shlamim. It has to be brought as a shlamim. Mm-hmm. And then you have to bring it, bal ta'achir, right? You have to bring it immediately. So again, immediate is what, right? And so it's true, you won't be over on the isur until, let's say, depending on the opinion, three regalim pass. But what about the aseh? Okay, the aseh you're over immediately. So now Rava says one more thing about this aseh. Rava, kevan shavru alav shlosha regalim, b'chol yom b'yom over b'al ta'achir. Every day is anew. I didn't do it, right? You've missed that mitzvah aseh. So now they're going to say, they're going to bring a source, and they're going to say, in this source it mentions the Baal Ta'akhir, right, the Aseh, but it doesn't say every day, so it must be that he's wrong. Meitive, in this bright it says, Echad Bechor ve'echad kol hekdeshim, kevan shavu alehem shana below regalim, regalim below shana, we're going to get to what this means in a minute, over b'Baal Ta'akhir. Okay, now what does this mean? It's like, either a year has passed without three regalim passing, or three regalim have passed without a year passing. He's over on Baal Ta'akhir. So then the Gemara asks, "V'hai mai tiyuvta?" Well, what's the question here? So Amar Rav Kahana, I'm going to explain the question to you. Man de kamotiv shapir kamotiv. The person who said this was a question said it well. Why? Michti tana alove kamahader linei b'chol yom v'yom over b'Baal Ta'akhir. He should have said, if really b'chol yom v'yom, you're over on Baal Ta'akhir, he should have said, b'chol yom v'yom over b'Baal Ta'akhir. And he doesn't say that. So now he says, "V'idach Tana l'mikbe'e b'lav kamahader, b'lav yitere lo kamahader." What does he say? No, he was just coming to say when, at what point are you over on the lav? He wasn't coming to say how many lavim are you over on. Okay, if you notice, Rava was talking about the aseh. Oh no, actually, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Rava's talking about the lo taseh. He's saying as soon as you pass that 3 months, you're over on the lo taseh every single day. So now this source just says you're over on the lo taseh. It doesn't say every single day. But then they said that's not a problem. This was just kovea, at what point does your clock start ticking? It doesn't say how many ticks are in the clock, right? Once, in other words, that it goes every single day. So it's not a problem. But now the Gemara is going to try to understand this braita b'chla. Gufa. Echa b'chor ve'echad kol hekdeshim. Kevan shavu alehem shana b'lo regalim, regalim b'lo shana, over b'baal ta'acher, right? Since whether a year passed without the regalim or the regalim without a year, you're already over on Baal Ta'akhir. Bishlama regalim below shana, mishkachala. We can understand that 3 regalim were passed, but the year hasn't passed, right? You're standing in September, right? You could get through 3 regalim in 7 months, basically, right? By the time Pesach's over, I'm sorry, 8 or 9 months, right? By the time Shavuot comes, you've gone through 3 regalim in less than a year. Ela shana below regalim, but how could you have a full year passing without the regalim? So we're going to see. Hani chalamandi ilay kisidra mishkachala. If you say the 3 years have to be in their order, remember we had the guy who said it has to be Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot. So then very easily you could get to a year before, because it could be 5 regalim have to pass. Elamandi lately kisidran hechem mishkachala. But if you don't have that, how are you going to do it? So now they say bishlama l'rebi. Like Rebbe, it can work, because you could have a Shana Me'uber. Titania, what's Rebbe? Shana Tmima. Rebbe Onmer, okay, the Pasuk says, Shana Tmima, right? This is about, it was from Parsha, last week's Parsha. Vimlo Yigael Ab Melot Lo Shana Tmima. When you have your house, right, and it has to, what happens? You sell your house, because you don't have money to pay for your house. So you sell your house. Within a year, you get back the money, you're allowed to rebuy back your house, the guy has to sell it to you. But if you don't, if a whole year passes, then it becomes that guy's house. Okay? Now, what's a Shana Tmima? So Rebbe says, Moneh, 365 yom, ki minyan yimot hachama. He says it's a solar calendar, not a lunar calendar. The Chachamim omrim, Moneh, yud bechodesh miyom liyom. It's a calendar year. Okay? You sold it Yud Nisan, you buy it, you know, you have till Yud Nisan. V'im nitabra shana nitabra lo. And if it was a leap year, you get an extra month, basically, to buy it back. So now, mishkach ala l'rebi, da'akdashe batar chag ha-matzot, t'chimata shilei adar batra, shana malya regalim lo malu. So now, you have it where you were makdish something after chag ha-matzot. And now, it's a leap year. So when 365 days pass, right? A leap year is going to be 383 or 84 days. So when a leap year comes, right? So basically, you're in Adar. You haven't gotten yet to Pesach again. Okay, so it could be like that. Ela l'Rabbanan, but Rabbanan, who say it's a calendar year, right? How could you have it? So now they say, there's an opinion about the holidays. Now, our calendar, what happens in our calendar? We're going to get to this a lot in the next, later in the Masechet. There's some months are 29 and some months are 30. Now, there's some months that could sometimes change. So now, what does it say? Kedetani Rav Shmaya, Atzeret, Pa'amim Hei Sivan, Pa'amim Vav, Pa'amim Shiva. Okay, it could be sometimes on Hey, it could be sometimes on Vav, it could be sometimes on Zayin. Ha'ketzad. Shnehem Aleim, right? What happens? You count 49 days, it's the 50th day. Now, it all depends what day that comes out, depending on whether Nisan and Iyar are Malay or Chaser. If they're 30-day months, then it's going to be Zayin. If they're both 29-day months, it's going to be Hey. And if one's 29 and one's 30, it's going to be Vav. Already nowadays, we have a set calendar, and it's always, right, one's 30, one's 29. But in though, right then, it wasn't always. So he's saying it could sometimes come out a different day of the week. Haketzad, there's a whole thing about the date of Shavuot. Like, it's not clear exactly what the date is. To us, it's clear, but then it wasn't so clear. Haketzad, Shnehem Aleim Chamisha. Right, comes out on the 5th of the month. If both are Malay, I said it the wrong way. If both are Malay, then it comes out earlier. It comes out earlier in the month. It was my mistake. Both are 30 days, then the 50th day is going to come out earlier because each month was fuller. It's going to be on Hay. Shnehem Chaserim, if both are 29, it's Bashiva. Echad Malay, Echad Chaser, Shisha. So therefore, according to him, it could be that one year, it'll be, every month will have 30 days, right? And then a year passes, 354 days, without the holiday having come yet, right? It could be, let's say you did it right before Chag HaShavuot, right? Right after Chag HaShavuot. And then 354 days pass, and it comes out Erev Chag HaShavuot. So Shavuot hasn't yet passed. So on that day, you'd be in a problem. So now they say, Umantana de Palagale de Rav Shmaya, who disagrees with Rav Shmaya and doesn't think that it could be on Hey Vavar Zayin, Acherim hi, Titania, Acherim Umrim, Ein Bein Atzeret Latzeret, Ein Bein Rosh Hashanah L'Rosh Hashanah, Ela Arba'a Yamin Bilvad. V'imaita Shanam Uberet Chamisha. What do they say? Every year, what does that mean? Rosh Hashanah will always come out with a 4-day difference from the way it was last year. Because if there's 354 days in a year, as according to him, the number of days is always the same. There's never Malei Chaser, right, changing like that. It's always exactly the same. Things will always come out with a 4-day difference, because 354 divided by 7 comes out to 50, remainder 4. Okay, it's always 50 weeks plus 4 days. So it's always going to be a 4-day difference. So it's never, right, according to Shmaya, Rav Shmaya, the calendar could change. It could be 354, it could be 353, it could be 355. According to this Tana, it's always exactly the same. If you might tell Shana Uber Chamisha, because then you have another month, and then it's either 383, 384, 385 days. Okay, we're going to stop here for today, and we'll start up tomorrow with this question about a Yoresh and then a woman. Okay, we want to know if you inherited property from your father and he had committed to do something. Do you have the issue of Baal Ta'akhir by you? And then what about a woman? Can a woman be included in the issue of Baal Ta'akhir? For herself, not for her husband.